This morning I have the privilege of introducing your speaker. It is not me. So sorry. I'm thrilled, and I get to introduce to you Garth Shaw. Garth is the husband of Pastor Kim Shaw. Did I get that right? Okay, good. And
yeah, we love her, don't we?
This is what is tough for me to fathom. They have been here now almost 2.5 years.
Almost as long
Sunrise.
As you.
Almost as long as me. Yeah. And Garth has served as a senior pastor in 2 different other venues, and we're thrilled to have him this morning with the Holy Spirit speaking through him a word for us this morning. So God bless you, Garth. Have fun with them. They are fun. And by the way, First service is way more engaged than second service. So you're
I know. I usually go to second service, and that's usually where I fall asleep at some point. I hope you won't do that today. You know, I've entitled our sermon today, My Biggest Problem Is, and I don't want to bury the lead. It's circumstances, isn't it? Is that our biggest problem? No. Our biggest problem in life is us, is me. My biggest problem is me. Now, you heard Rich Sherman say that from up here, and yeah, I'm going to run with it, because I believe there's so much more to be said on that issue. Because while there are circumstances in life that are difficult, and, you know, Derek's going through one right now, that's just a circumstance. Derek's biggest problem is Derek. No, I mean, all of us have a problem, and we all have the same condition. If you're a believer here, you live in a condition that we're going to get to in a minute that is a struggle between two different natures. We are flesh, and we are also spiritual. The Holy Spirit indwells us at the time we become believers. Christ is involved with us. God the Father is always there. We are spiritual beings, but we are also flesh. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. So I don't want to bury the lead. My biggest problem is me, and I think you have the same problem. Not me, you. We got to be clear about that. I want to start off with a story that comes from Matthew. And in this story, Jesus has sent the disciples out in the boat. You know the story well. The sea gets rough. The minnow is tossed. No, the boat is tossed. And they become worried. And here comes Jesus walking on the water. And they see him and don't recognize him right away and think it's a ghost. And so we get here to this point in the scripture in 27. But Jesus comes to him and says, hey, immediately says to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. And now, I relate to Peter a lot because I'm kind of impulsive and I kind of respond fast. I'm like a guy, you know. And so Peter says to him, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. Now, if they really believed in this boat, kind of funny part of the story, if they really believed that that was a ghost, wouldn't the ghost's greatest trick to be go, yeah, come on, and watch Peter take the plunge? But that's not what happened. Next verse, yeah. Then Peter got down out of the boat. Now, Peter, clearly he used to be a fisherman. I'm not all that steady on the sea, but can you imagine trying to get out of the boat in a storm? I have enough trouble getting out of a boat at the dock when somebody else is moving across. Look out. But Peter I can just kind of picture it. Peter's just like, you know, hand on the rail, jump over the edge, because the Lord told me to come. And what a great faith move. So Peter jumps out of the boat here, walked on the water and came toward Jesus. And at this point, all the guys in the boat are going, holy cow, that's awesome. But a problem arises. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Good move. Because Jesus does. He grabs his hand and brings him back into the boat. But look at what happened here. I really love God's word because it paints some really cool pictures. And one of the pictures, when I look at this whole thing, there's some things that are said and there's some things that are not said. Okay? Okay, so Peter does that. You know, hey, Lord, call me out. I'll come. Big faith step. Steps out, boom, walks on water. Still rough seas and stuff. But what happens to Peter is that he sees his circumstances. He sees the wind and the sea and becomes afraid and takes his eyes off of Jesus for a minute. And things change. They start to go bad. And Peter has a couple of choices there. One of them we don't even see in the text. This is something that I came across. He had options. He had to cry out to Jesus, best move ever. Okay, did that. He has an option to go back to the boat. Now, isn't the first thing that you think of doing in life when things get tough or things get rough is going back to the way things used to be because that was safe and good? My first option, guys, is to go, I'm going to grab that boat. It's right there because that's where I was okay. But Peter had the foresight to cry out to Jesus. And then there's the guys in the boat. These are just things I observe. In this story, there are people that stay in the boat that never take that step of faith, that never take the risk, that they're always stuck in the, I'm looking at my circumstances. I could just imagine the picture of this when Jesus says, come. The other guys are looking back at Peter going, just you, good. I'm glad he didn't call us all out because then we'd all have to go. Can you imagine if Jesus said, okay, all 12 of you, out of the boat. There would be 11 other guys going, not me. Go ahead, you first. I'm going to see how you handle this. I'll see how it goes. So just as a picture of, you know what? It wasn't Peter's circumstance that was the problem of the wind and the waves. It was that he took his focus off of Jesus. And so that's going to bring us over to, just as an introduction, bring us over to Galatians 5. Because Paul has a section in this scripture that I think is huge for all of us. In understanding that we are, and I'm going to use a big word, dichotomous. We are two things in one. We are flesh and we are spirit. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We are saved. We are children of God. We're going to heaven when we die. That is our call. But God didn't take us when we became His children by an act of faith and by His grace. He didn't take us, change us into mind-numb robots that lived perfect lives. He left us in this stuff that we call flesh. And so let's move over to this. So Paul says, and I love the illustration here. So he said, so I say, now keep coming in Galatians to this point. He's been talking to the church about a problem they had. Problem they had is a lot of the believers were saying, you know, we need to go back to the way we did things in the Jewish synagogue. We need to go back to the things of the law because those were safe. Those were the things we were used to. This whole new grace thing and the whole being led by the Spirit thing, that's a little foreign to us and it's a little scary. So we want to go back to the way things were. And this is the thing they're struggling with. And Paul says, you know what? It is about grace. It is about loving your neighbor, which he says in verses early. And he says, it's also not about biting and devouring each other in arguments over this issue. And he's going to drive the point home here because what he's going to say is that there's a battle going on. It isn't a battle, it's supposed to be a battle between you guys or you and me. It's supposed to be a battle between you and yourself, your flesh. So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. He's telling us what the battle is. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Oh, now, wait a minute. That's not my idea of fun at all. I should be able to do what I want. We live in this society of ours that says, hey, whatever you want, you can get it. And if you can't afford it right now, you can get a credit card and buy it and pay for it later. We are trained to think that we can have what we want. And Paul's saying, you're in a battle. You're in this condition. All of us are. We are our own worst enemy. It is about this battle between flesh and spirit. The problem is that. But look at the way he outlines this and starts it off. But I say, walk by the Spirit. What is something we do every day, if we're able to, obviously? We walk. It's what we learn to do. It is a milestone in a kid's life. I loved it when my son started walking. Then I had to move everything up higher. But I loved it when he started walking. It was such a cool moment. We remember that. Now, as kids, we don't remember walking. But walking is pretty much essential to what's going on. And if you look back at this time in life, there wasn't the bus. There wasn't transportation, you know, mass transit. There was none of those things. Everything you did was done by walking. And Paul really wants to bring it home. This is the most practical thing he can say to us, is that, hey, walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh. You won't, if you're walking by the Spirit, you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. If you're focused on God, if you're focused like Peter was on Christ and not on his circumstances, although those are real, okay, those are things to deal with, but if our focus is on God, we'll walk in the right direction. Get back to that in a minute. We have, as the flesh in this, it is our sin nature. It isn't just our bodies. It can be said that, yeah, our bodies affect things. If we're sick, well, we don't feel good. I get grumpy when I'm sick. How about you? Guys, do you get grumpy and short-tempered and angry when you're tired? I'm asking the wrong people. Wives, do your husbands get grumpy and angry? Yes. Kids, do your dad get angry? Yes. It is one of mine. It is one of mine. Might be one of yours too if you're a woman. But for guys, I've noticed this. We get angry when we're tired. And early on in my marriage, the first thing I learned is never argue about anything after 9 o'clock. So if my wife wants anything, she's going to ask me after 9 o'clock because I simply won't argue. Because I'm grumpy and I'm just a grumpy person looking for a place to grump. And that isn't a good thing. That is my flesh. Paul outlines really well in the next verse. He says, okay, well, here's what you're up against. This is what we're kind of stuck with. This is the choices we have. And we've kind of listed these we put them in a list because it's kind of cool. And he says loud and clear, the acts of the flesh are obvious. You and I, if we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit and we have a real, live, vibrant relationship with God, know when we're doing wrong most of the time. Not always, but most of the time. And they are sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft. Those are the big five. Because, those are big. And then he moves down to simpler things. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness and orgies and the like. That's quite a list. Now, I know a lot of you, and I've done this too. Boy, the world is becoming a really weird place. There's a lot of things that are super strange, and our societies, they say this all the time, going to hell in a handbasket. Heard that just yesterday. You know what? It was worse then, I think. There was a lot going on, and if we were doing a really in-depth study on this, boy, we could pull out some books of history that talk about the kinds of things that are going on here and the society they lived in. I don't know. I think it was worse then than it is now. But that's just me. So when we take a look at this list, the first thing you're doing as a human being is you're going, hey, that ain't me. I don't do hardly any of those. So I'm okay. You see the line at the bottom? Not orgies. The line at the bottom. And the like. Now we know there's more to this list than this list. Our flesh has a lot of ways of, messing up our lives. Bad decisions. Sinful decisions. Sins of omission. There's a whole list of those. Sins of not doing the right thing. There's a lot of stuff in our lives that are fleshly that are obvious. I had one of these come across my life. I like to think that I'm fairly self-aware, but it's really nice to also have friends point out to you that you're really not and you've got more problems than you think you do. But the area that I struggle with came to light a long time ago. Now, I'm kind of an entrepreneur. I've always had my own business. I have almost always worked for myself. I like that. Yes, I'm a control freak. Yeah, that's why I was a pastor. No, it's not why. But those personalities tend to go that way. We like control. We like to do things. We like to run the ship. All that. And I came across a point in my life, and it was probably 8 years ago. We moved back from Northern California back to here. And my wife and I worked a couple of different jobs, and mine went away, and I had to create another job. So I created a new business, a courier business. I had to do something. We were drowning financially, and we're bleeding like crazy because life's expensive, and we came back to being underpaid. You remember that point in the economy when, if you're a home builder in here, things weren't going so well, were they? There are some industries that people were in support of those industries, especially that everything in real estate shut down. And it was hard. And one of my jobs as a window cleaner before that I could have rebuilt was gone. Nobody was spending money on cleaning windows. The economy was in bad shape and we were struggling. So I created this business because that's what I do and what I've always done. And so I started driving and picking up customers and doing this kind of thing and delivering. And because I am one of those guys that was always taught hard work's the answer. Amen? Hard work is an answer. Not always the answer. I worked myself to the bone. I worked so hard. I would go out and I'd drive 30 hours, come back and sleep 2, and go drive another 24 hours. I was determined to get myself out of this problem. It was going to be me. Now, sure, I probably had mentioned in a prayer somewhere, Lord, help me get this done, but for the most part, I got this. It's okay. And I was doing all right. I was catching up. I looked at the whole bill thing and said, you know what, this is doable if I can just do these things. And I worked and worked and worked. And it worked so hard. At one point, I'm driving home, 2 blocks from the house, after driving for 30-some hours. And I fell asleep at the wheel. And crashed my car into a large inanimate object. And then I got out and walked home and said, okay, well, you know. And then insurance will cover that. But there's a deductible. So you're trying to catch up and now you're falling behind. And so then you have to rent a car and go out and do it again. And then so, boom, I did that like 2 days later. I just back out and do that again. And I'm determined, again, I'm going to make this happen. A car's in the shop for a month. Should have been to the junkyard. But I went to the shop instead. And I'm moving along and doing it right. And I think I'm doing okay. And then I get my car back, and a week later, I fall asleep at the wheel and wreck it again. Now, at this point, I was a bit discouraged. But I was going to make this happen. I was going to make this happen. I'm going to make this right. It's my job. I had forgotten that it isn't my job. It's my job to respond to God, not respond to my flesh. My flesh was saying, you can do this. And I distinctly remember after the second wreck and having to fix that car, not with the insurance company because that was going to kill me long run, but by myself. And then looking at the bills mounting and getting bigger and bigger. And also at my prospects. What's my next best prospect, you guys? To go out and do the exact same thing again. Well, in the meantime, God's working and on me, and I'm sitting on the couch one day, 2 days after that, and I was at the end of it. I was like, you know what? Too bad it cost this much and took this long. But Lord, I am absolutely out of answers. There's no way I can do it. I need you to fix this for me. I'm done. I'm going to die in a car wreck or something else like that. Or I'm just going to start running out of cars and money. And it wasn't good. I responded in the flesh by trying to get it done my own way. 2 days later, I got a call from a company that I was doing work for. They really liked me. They liked how prompt I was, how well I did the job. And they said, I want to meet you and offer you a job. Thanks. And I met with them and they gave me a job driving their car so I could wreck it. No. I'm not a bad driver. I was just sleepy. Driving their car, making the same money, working only days. It wasn't me that did that. It was God that did that because I said, Lord, I don't want to fix this anymore because my flesh is this kind of stuff and your way is much better. The next slide will talk about that. We are taught that we have two natures here. And I love the way this is listed too. Because I think the most important is at the top. But the fruit of the Spirit, the result of being involved with God in an intimate relationship and actually talking to Him and communicating with Him daily is so very important. But the fruit of the Spirit, in contrast to the flesh, is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Leaping off the page, and Paul wanted to make this point to them, the first and foremost important thing about our involvement in a relationship with God is love. It is top of the list. It is the first thing. I don't think you do anything else without it. When Paul said of faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love, because he meant it. It was love that brought us our salvation. It was love that paid that price. It is always about love. And if you ain't got love, you ain't got nothing. And that's 1 Corinthians 13. If you don't have love, you don't have anything. And so all these, I think, really do come out of a person who's connected to God, who loves like God loves. So here it is: joy, peace, forbearance. I always learned it as patience, but, you know, I got impatient with that, so now it's forbearance. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And look at this one, is interesting. And self-control. Now, I would have thought self-control was all about self, but it isn't. It is a spiritual gift. It is a result of being involved with God. It isn't purely an act of the will. There's an aspect of that, but it's not purely an act of the will. It is a result of being involved with God. And that one always surprised me. So we have this list of things. Against such thing there's no law. But what do we do with that? How do you get that? I mean, how do I get me some of that? Because the other slide that's talking about the flesh, I can do that all day long. I can make up ways to sin. We all can. We all can find ways to disappoint anybody in our lives, especially our God. But this, how do I get me some of this? And I think the trick is walking. He starts off in verse 16 by saying, walk by the Spirit. Now, it's something we all do. But do we really think when we're walking about walking? No, it's kind of second nature now. Every once in a while, we trip and fall, or there's some kind of ailment. I work with orthopedics companies, so I see it all the time. People get new knees and hips and things like that. There's things that interrupt our walking, but walking is so second nature. We can tend to forget about it. And I think that a lot of the times we get so caught up into doing things the way we used to do them before we came to Christ, or just because we want to do them, not because we have to, but because we choose to do things that are fleshly rather than things that are more difficult, and that is dealing with the things on this list. We forget about that completely. You know, I try to put it practical. Being involved with a relationship with God requires communication and all that, but it also requires an act of our will to say, Lord, I want to walk with you today. And you know what? This is one I forget all the time. I'll get up, have the coffee, watch the news, get out the door, go to work, and do my day. You guys do this, right? I hope you do. and respond to things during the day. Either, you know, I respond to them well or I don't. And that's the way the day goes. And sometimes we rush through it. But you know, if I was to stop and think that every morning when I put my shoes on, that I'm putting on the Holy Spirit, that he indwells me. I'm not calling the Holy Spirit shoes. Don't anybody quote me on that. I have to explain that. But it, just as an act, a physical act I do every day, I put shoes on every day. Now, isn't it a great idea, I think, for me especially, I don't know for you. So when we put our shoes on in the morning, are we saying, Lord, as I tie these up, or if you're a woman, if I slip these on and they match my outfit perfectly, do they really match my character? Am I really thinking, Lord, I want to walk today the way you want me to walk? Man, I want to be that guy. You know what gets in my way is the flesh, the stuff we talked about before. It gets in my way. There is no escaping it. We have to deal with it. Peter had to deal with it. He had the whole, oh, you know, well, look at these waves and wind. That's kind of bad. Oh, I'm going to sink and fall now. It was a distraction. The problem wasn't the distraction. The problem was Peter. We often look for ways to get out of submitting to God, saying, I want you every minute, every day. I really love the one line that in Come Thy Fount. I am prone to wander. And I love that wandering. You're walking when you're wandering, you know that? Lord, I'm prone to wander far from the one I love. That is a great picture of my flesh day to day. Wants to drag me in other directions. Now, it might not be that big list, everything on that big list. It might be the other things that we've just developed as bad habits. But where we are is an interesting position. What's the next slide? Because this is kind of cool. Because I'm looking at this and I'm seeing hope. It says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Well, so did it all go away if we crucified it, if we killed it? Yeah, in a sense. Because since we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, since we have a connection to God, since we are the children of the Most High, the most powerful God, we have access to that power. Boy, the songs we sang this morning about that last one, about the power of God in us, we have the ability. What we crucified when it comes to the flesh was its power. That's what was crucified. Its influence was not. It still can influence, but it has no power. With the Holy Spirit in our lives, with us involved with God, with us daily putting on our shoes and saying, Lord, walk, let me walk in your shoes. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that defeats the flesh, not our will. Not our will. And it is through that, even the whole thing with self-control. It's not self-control, my self-control. It's self-control that I get from the Holy Spirit to be able to say, no, I'm not going to live that way. I'm going to choose a different path. So we need to wrap this up. What do you do now? So what now? Now, I'm going to go back to the boat issue. There's a few things you can do. The first one is, do nothing. Be like the 11 guys in the boat and sit there and watch the parade go by. I'm not going to be so concerned about my flesh and about walking in the Spirit and watching the steps I take. I'm okay now. Boy, I hope I never get to the point in my life where I say, I'm okay now, I've been doing this long enough. I got it, God. I'll handle it from here. Because the guys in the boat were all just sitting there watching the parade go by, watching the miracle, rather being involved with it. So if you're here and you've been a Christian long enough and you're walking in faith and you're walking in the Spirit and the things of the flesh, they aren't such a big battle to you anymore, that's a great time to grab somebody who's struggling and walk alongside with them. Because we're all walking. We're all walking. The other thing we can do is go back. Like I said, the option is to go back to what's comfortable. When things arise, when circumstances come, and when our flesh gets a grip on our lives that we allow it to, that we don't talk to God about. Like I didn't talk to God for quite a few months about this whole, I'm going to make this work thing. Or I'm going to control my anger thing. I don't want me to control my anger. I want God to control my anger. Me, I'm no good at it. We can go back. Or we can reach out. What did Peter do? He said, Lord, save me. And maybe today, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's your first step. That's your first move. Lord, save me. And you know what he does every single time? He saves you. He does. He's a man of his word. God's a God of his word. He didn't come here to waste time. He came here to save. He didn't say to Peter, no man, this is your mess, wallow in it, go ahead and drown. He grabbed him by the hand, took him back to the boat, taught him a lesson or two. Don't take your eyes off me. Reach out. It means communicating with God. Do you communicate with God all the time? When I put my shoes on in the morning, I am now more motivated to say, Lord, these are your shoes. Help me to walk in them. And yes, it is good that they match your outfit. But It's all not, the important thing is that there are God's shoes that you're walking in. That He strengthens you. That it isn't an act of your will. Because that's the flesh sometimes, most of the time. If you're struggling with something, if you're like me, you take a long time sometimes to figure out that you've been doing something wrong for so many years or so many months. Keep in mind, it isn't your circumstances that's the problem, it's you. Jesus is saying, look it, I'm standing here waiting for you to talk to me. Just talk to me. And He'll respond. Cliff, I think we got maybe some questions or...
We do.
Oh, rats. No, I'm kidding. We did this on purpose.
Hey, you can have... listen, I planted a few in here just in case.
Oh, good, thanks.
But this one is a legitimate one from one of you in the audience.
Well, so. They're all legitimate.
No, this is true. This person says this, I've struggled with this for a while. I have some great plans for my life, but how do I know whether it's my plan or God's plan? What can I do to figure that out?
Oh, that's an easy one. I had enough trouble with that. Come on. How do I know if it's God's plan or my plan? Well, first of all, I think the most important thing is that it doesn't contradict God's word. If this plan of yours that you've wanted for a long time contradicts God's word, or it's meant to only elevate yourself, and it isn't driven by love, I would caution you not to do it. There's so many people I know in business that go into business to make money. Well, that's probably the object of the going into business. But if it's your only goal is to make money, then you've got a problem. So when it comes to things like this, and reread it if you have to, keep struggling. God makes it clear. Talk to other people. You cannot make decisions that have a huge gravity by yourself without seeking the advice of somebody else. So don't contradict God's word in what you do and say, and do not do it without the advice of others. That's what I'd go with that one, yeah. That is an answer.
I love it. I also loved how you you talked about getting dressed.
Yeah.
And in Colossians 3, it talks
clothe
about
yourselves. Yeah.
With combine this.
Huh?
Compassion, kindness, gentleness, humility, those things.
Oh. Greek,
you get dressed.
No,
you get dressed. You know, and the implication in there is it's something that's not natural.
Yeah.
You have to get dressed, you have to clothe yourself. It's something that doesn't come naturally to you. So, this one, what's the difference between spiritual gifts and fruits of the Spirit? There's a little theological
yeah.
one for you.
I wasn't expecting that one. spiritual gifts are what we have, what the Spirit brings to us and takes of our natural abilities also and amplifies those. Spiritual gifts are different than gifts of the Spirit. One is a result of walking with the Spirit, and the other is a gift from God that each of us have. Some have the gifts of tongues. Some have the gifts of leadership. Those kinds of gifts. Some have the gifts of preaching, and teaching and admonishing. All those things are gifts from God. Those are different than the things that we, I think, experience in our day-to-day walk.
So with the fruits of the Spirit, I think I've always struggled with this, that I can say, oh, I have these two gifts
yeah.
that are my spiritual gifts, but you have these nine fruits of the Spirit. Am I supposed to have all of those?
No, absolutely.
Or can I just have a couple of them?
No, nobody has all of them.
Okay.
Yeah, no one has all of them. But yeah, those are specific gifts that God prepares for you to do ministry. And yeah. It's like, I don't do ministry. Yes, you do. You love those around you. You walk with those around you. You are the body of Christ. No more important a guy on stage as it is as a person out there. We're yeah. all the body of Christ.
Chanel asks, how are the questions going?
They're going well, Chanel. Thank you.
I think they're good, girl. All right.
Inside joke.
Garth, thank you so much.
Absolutely. You going to pray us out of this?
Absolutely. And we'll do a little announcement here.
Okay.
I want to remind you, take these. We have lots. We do not want the printing to have been in vain. And so we have plenty of these right down here. And we'd be happy to join you. And if you need prayer, please feel free to come up and pray with one of our friends here this morning. But let's pray together. And we will be dismissed. Holy God, we gather here to this morning, and I'm reminded more than ever in the power of your Holy Spirit, as a body of yours, not just to grow and come closer to you, but also to be empowered to go out and do your will. And I thank you for an extreme reminder this morning that we are not to be doing these things in our strength and in our flesh, but through the power of your Spirit. And so may we walk out these doors, Father, empowered by your Spirit to do your will, knowing that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in us. And to that end, we commit ourselves, we commit this body to you this morning. We continue to pray for our pastor, that you would heal Derek. Heal his body, heal his heart, heal his family. Draw him near to you in this time. In Jesus' name, amen.